This morning, we're going to look at this message here and talk about faith, at least as far as our series goes, for the final time this morning. The goal of this series was to examine the examples given in Hebrews chapter 11 and to look at those examples and hopefully be challenged in our own faith as we looked at the examples of those that lived by faith. Now, it has been a long series. It's probably the longest series I think I've ever preached as far as a preaching series. It's been a long series, but at the same time, faith is an important part of our life. It's every day. Tomorrow morning you wake up and you begin your day, and really we must live by faith every single day, trusting that God will guide and direct and protect and provide, and the list goes on and on. So it's an important issue and something that's required every day. You know, this morning, as we wrap up this series, this message, I hope and pray more than anything else, will be a challenge. It's going to be a very practical message that I hope and pray that will stir your hearts towards faith. I know you've already lived by faith, but this will just to maybe give you a little bit more of a challenge to seek God by faith. And I'm going to begin in my introduction, or at least have an illustration at this point. Some of you have heard of Lou Gehrig. Maybe our younger people haven't heard of Lou Gehrig. But many of you have probably heard of Lou Gehrig, and you know a little bit about him. But if not, then this will help you understand a little bit who he was. He played for the New York Yankees. But like any other player, it wasn't like he just walked in one day and went to the plate and became a hero. For the first few years of his career, he struggled. Went back and forth to the minor league team and had some difficulties. One of them was he did become homesick, like many young athletes, and he was tempted to quit, but he chose not to. He stuck it out. Also, he struggled with defense. He could always hit. That's what made him so good in college. Even he was a good hitter. Struggled with defense, but according to one biographer, when he made a mistake, they said he'd never make it again because he would just work and work and work to become better at his position. Well, he continued to do that for several years and had opportunities to hit and play a little bit. Well, on June 2nd, 1925, we know, according to history, he was put into the lineup for a man by the name of Wally Pipp. And 2,130 games later, that'd be about 14 years later, he finally took his seat on the bench. Up until I think it was in the late 80s, that record remained until Cal Ripken broke it. But what I want you to think on is Lou Gehrig waited for his opportunity, and when it was there, he took advantage of it. And he continued to play hard, and now his nickname even then was the Iron Horse, and that's what people know him as, someone who was steady and someone who was ready to play. You know, this morning, that leads me into my message as far as our thought. It's our turn to live by faith. And I want you to think on that for a minute. We've been looking at these examples in the Old Testament, and we've been encouraged, challenged, reminded. But this morning, it's your turn to live by faith. It's your opportunity to live for God. This is your generation. God has put you here to live today, 2013. And how long He'll leave you here on earth until He's ready to call you home, I don't know. But until then, it's your chance to live by faith. And we're to be faithful where God has placed us. We're to be faithful in this generation. Also, I believe we're to be examples to the next generation. You know, you're to be an example to your children and to your grandchildren or to those in the church that are to follow. You're to be an example of faith and how to live by faith so others can be encouraged. And when God calls you home, like the people in Hebrews chapter 11, others can look and say, let's live like them. They had a life of faith. They loved God. And so we're to live by faith to be an encouragement. You know, in this book, in Hebrews, chapter 10, we find the declaration, and we've discussed this, and that is, the just shall live by faith. That's at the end of Hebrews 10. And then, at the beginning of Hebrews 11, we're given the description of faith. I guess you say how faith is described. Basically, faith is taking God at His word. That's the simplest way to put it. God has said so, so guess what? I'm going to believe it. That's what faith is. And then we were given several examples, and that's what took up most of our messages over the past year, is all those examples of faith, from Abraham to Isaac to Joseph to Daniel to Enoch to David to Moses, all those men to Sarah and others, all those people who lived by faith, those are the examples that we learned from and that we looked at. And finally, This morning, we're going to Hebrews chapter 12, the beginning of the next chapter, and we're going to look at the first two verses. And I hope and pray that today your hearts will be stirred to live by faith, to live like these people did, because that's what this is there for, to challenge us. So Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 1, it says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." It says, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessings you provided. Please, Lord, I pray that you'll help us to empty our thoughts of our worldly matters or anything that may concern us for the next few moments. Help us to focus on your word and to look at your word. I pray you'll provide the teaching that you have for each one of us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, I hope to encourage your faith. The title of this message is Faith for Today. We've been talking about the faith of the past, all these people, but faith for today, right now, 2013, living for God by faith. And I'm going to give you, from the scriptures here, four considerations concerning faith. Four considerations concerning faith. And the first one is, we need to consider the spectators, is what we need to consider. It begins in verse 1. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." The cloud of witnesses, the spectators. Now, this refers to those that were mentioned in the previous chapter. The ones we've been looking at for the several months is what this refers to, or who this refers to. It refers to those people who lived and died by faith. Those people who refused to quit just because things became tough. Those people who, when they were persecuted, didn't turn away from God, but turned towards God. Those people who stuck it out and remained faithful, some even to the end. Those people that looked for the promise of the Messiah. And those that trusted in all the other promises that God had given. Those are the spectators that it's referring to, the great cloud of witnesses. And as it says there in verse 1, it says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses," he says, "let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so doth so easily beset us." You know, before we get into this, I want to address who he's writing to. You know, every one of these letters is written to someone. And there where it says us, I want to address who this us is for and who this is writing to. As far as the primary application of that, that would obviously be to the Jewish people, the Hebrews. That's who he was writing this letter to. Now, there are probably three groups that this falls into. First, how about those Jewish believers? Those Hebrew believers that had trusted Christ as their Savior, had lived for the Lord, and guess what? They weren't going to quit. They were going to remain faithful, they loved God, and they were going to continue to serve the Lord. This was written for them, or to them, to encourage them as they served God. Secondly, how about those believers that had considered quitting because of the troubles? You know, that can happen. Our difficulties can become so great we may consider quitting, especially when you talk about persecution or troubles that the world may bring. And maybe that's who this letter is written to, those Hebrews who had considered quitting. Or maybe even those that had quit, had went back to the religion of works and were discouraged. And he's writing to them and saying, live by faith, because these others live by faith. And thirdly, how about those Jews who possessed knowledge of the scriptures? They knew the Old Testament. They knew all the men and women that he had been talking about. They possessed the knowledge of the scriptures, but they had no faith. You know, this morning, that's possible. You can have the knowledge of the Bible without faith. In other words, you can know what the Bible teaches, but you haven't applied it. You've never trusted in Christ as your Savior. You're not living by faith. And maybe that's who he was writing to as well. Those that had the knowledge but had yet to trust in Christ as their Savior, were considering it, were thinking on it, and this letter here was written to challenge them to not only trust in Christ as their Savior, but to live by faith. So that's the primary group that this was written to. But I also think it was written generally to all believers. to all those who would come and read this later, that would be us, all those that are faithful, all those that live by faith, and maybe those that are discouraged. Maybe there's someone here this morning that you're a little bit discouraged, you're disappointed, something has happened you didn't plan on, or times have just become rough. This was written to you to continue on and to live by faith. Also, it may have been meant for those, even today, that are without faith, that have the knowledge of the Scriptures, but have yet to trust in Christ. This was to you to live by faith, to put your faith in God, because God will not let you down or fail you. So that's who he's addressing. So let's get into the spectators here for the next few minutes. This is a challenge, really, for us to continue in faith, no matter what we may come against. And why? How about their example? That's first. The example of all those who came before us. You know the word where it says witnesses, it says we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. You know, when I was younger and I read that, I used to think that it was talking about, you know, people watching down over us. And that may be the case, but I think it's probably unlikely. I imagine when we get to heaven, as much as we think we're going to be interested in the things that are going on here on earth, I really believe when we get to heaven, we're probably just going to be awed by what we see up there. And we probably won't have no interest. Not that we won't care about anyone back here, but we'll have so much that'll just impress us with God in heaven that we probably won't have much interest in what's going on as far as the events of the world. You know, I don't know about you, but now, I tell you, some days I want to turn off the news as it is. I couldn't imagine paying attention to these events if I could be worshiping God directly there and seeing Him. So I don't think it's referring to the witnesses as far as watching. You see, that word for witnesses is also, the word is martus. It's the same word we get martyr from. Now, a martyr is someone who has given their life for a cause. In the case of the Scriptures, it's given your life for Christ, dying for your faith, dying for Jesus Christ. So that's what that word in the Greek is. It's martyr. And basically, I think what we find here is that the example that we're to consider are those that came before us, those who went through the struggle, those who, I guess they can relate because they have lived the life of faith down here on earth. You see, they gave their lives unto the Lord as far as yielding unto God, and then some were required to lay down their life for God, and they did. You see, that's the example we're to follow. And it says there, you'll notice, says, are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. You know, I think what it's basically referring to is saying, hey, these others have done it. You can do it as well. I was reading a story of a man who was walking by a playground, and he looked over and he saw a young boy sitting on his bike, and he looked nervous. And the man was just walking by with his wife, and he looked over at the young boy and said, "What's wrong?" And as he began to look, he noticed that there was like a little track there, and there's this ramp. And this young boy's getting ready to jump the ramp, and there's all these other boys sitting there. And well, this man thought that there was some peer pressure going on, maybe a little bullying. So he looked at the young boy and he said, "You know, you don't have to do this if you don't want to." And the young boy smiled. He goes, "Yes, I do." And he goes, "They already did it." And there were no peer pressure there. This young boy just was getting ready to go do it because others had already done it, and he thought he could do it as well. Now, you think about that. That's the example we're given here as believers. You know, in the midst of our struggles and our trials, let's never forget that others have faced difficulties, and they live by faith, so we can live by faith as well. It's not to minimize our difficulties. It's to encourage us to look to God and to live by faith. And so that's what it's referring to. I think, instead of having the idea of a stadium in mind of people looking down, I think it's probably more appropriate to have an idea of maybe like a marathon race, and there's the finish line, and others have already finished, and they're waiting there cheering you on, waiting for you to run your race and to finish your course. I think that's probably more appropriate as far as the view of what is taking place. They're encouraging us, living for God now and waiting as we finish our course. So the Scriptures here inform, instruct, and they encourage us to serve the Lord. So that's the first consideration. Here's the second one. How about let's consider the struggle? It says there in verse 12, it says, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us." You know, I'd be lying if I told you it'd be easy. Serving God is not easy. Living a life of faith is difficult. There are going to be temptations, there are going to be trials, there are going to be troubles. And it is a struggle to live for God. You know, when you read, when you go back and you study the lives of these people, there were trials and troubles. You know, there would be no story about Daniel if it wasn't for the lion's den. He had to go into that lion's den. David had to face that Goliath by faith. You see, those men and women, we read of their great accounts, but we must remember those great accounts are there because of the great trial and trouble that they had to go through. So this morning, we need to understand there's going to be a struggle, and we need to remain faithful. He says there, lay aside every weight that besets us. I think this first offer refers to that which is not necessarily sinful, but distracting. Lay aside every weight, he says there, that besets us. Now that basically lay aside means to set aside. That doesn't mean you're going to destroy it, throw it away. It means put it aside, step away from it, do something else is what it's referring to. Now think about this. How about we set aside those things that hinder our faith? Those things that cause us to doubt God and His works. You know what that could be? Maybe that's books. Maybe careful of what you read. You know, you read a book, it can put all sorts of thoughts in your mind. I'm not telling you to ban books or anything like that. I'm just saying beware, be careful, and read with understanding. Secondly, how about what we watch? Movies and television. You know, there's a lot of shows that can hinder our faith, that can cause us to doubt and discourage us. Websites the same way. Be careful of what you read online. So those are things that can hinder our faith. How about some things which slow down our service to God? You see, we were to live by faith and we're to serve God by faith, but there are some things that can hinder, not so much hinder, but slow us down and lead us away from serving God. It can be anything from entertainments to hobbies. Nothing wrong with those things necessarily, but if we allow them to, they can become a problem. How about things of the world we grow too fond of? Now think about that for a minute. You know, we're told Abraham, he was a pilgrim in this world. He knew this was not his permanent residence, and he lived as if he was going to another country. You see, that's one of the lessons of faith. But you think on this, it's so easy to get caught up with the things of the world. And I'm not talking about sin. It's just so easy to grow fond of the things of the world. Now, you may not be in love with those things, but it's easy just to grow fond of them to the point where, you know, they kind of distract us from living by faith. Now, money, materials, careers can be involved in this. We got to be careful of those things to the point where they become controlling and we don't live for God. How about those things of the world that occupy too much time? You know, there's some things in the world that aren't necessarily evil, but they're time consuming and they can take time away from us serving the Lord. Of course, I think of books. I think of television. I know I'm not the only one that's ever sat down and flipped channels for an hour to actually never see anything. It was just an hour of flipping channels and wasted a whole hour there trying to see what was on. How about getting online? You know, there have been times I said, I'm going to get on for just a few minutes. An hour later, I'm saying, man, where'd the time go? I wasn't doing anything evil or wrong, just time consuming. If we're not careful, we can lose time. And time is valuable. I mean, time that we can be reading the Bible, praying, serving God, doing things at church. It's easy just to get caught up. Now, like I said this morning, I'm not going to tell you to throw your iPhone out on the way out to church. Technology, there's nothing wrong with the tools. It's just making sure they're not controlling us, but that we have self-control and that we understand that we're to seek God and then use those for God's glory and make sure they're not hindering our faith. That's more than anything else. Make sure they're not hindering your faith in God. You know, I'm reminded of runners, you know, athletes that run for a living. Maybe they're in the Olympics. You know, for the most part, runners will remove everything that may hinder them in that race. Now, it's to the point now where they remove too much, I think. I tell you, for the most part, it's immodest almost when you watch some of these races almost remove everything. But the point is they're doing that so nothing can hinder their speed. Why? So they can run faster. In some cases, they can go further. That's the goal. Try to do it as quick as they can. You see, that's the lesson there for us is, as believers, let's apply that to our life. Sometimes it's good just to examine your life and say, you know, there's some things in my life that may be slowing me down in serving God, that are hindering my faith. And if there are, hey, I'm just not going to do them. Or I'm going to cut back maybe on those and give a little more time to God and prayer and make sure that I have time to grow in the Lord. You know, it'd be wise for us to have the same attitude, the same diligence that an athlete has towards winning a race. As believers, we should have that same attitude towards serving God. And then he goes on to say, you know, we're back here, it says, lay aside every weight. And then it says, and the sin, which doth so easily beset us. You know, he has two categories here, the weight, and then he says the sin. The weight, I believe, are those things that are not sinful, but are distracting, that are hindering. Now he says, lay aside that sin. Now this is different. Sin may be attractive, or it may be addictive. Either one's dangerous, because sin is dangerous. You know, sin, it may be sin that you were involved with before salvation. That does happen. You know, there are believers that are saved, and they had some addiction, or they had some sin that they were involved with before they were saved. And I tell you, it's going to be a struggle. They're saved, their life has been changed, but the devil, or the temptation in general, is going to be strong because that sin was so much a part of their life. That's why this morning we have some young people in our auditorium. I tell you what, live for God now. It's so much easier to live for the Lord later without having all that difficulty because of some mistakes that were made at a young life. Begin now serving God. It's never too early to look to God. You know, we have 10-year-olds, 9-year-olds, 8-year-olds, 7-year-olds. It's never too early to begin seeking God and praying to Him, reading your Bible. I tell you, that's ideal. You should do that. God will bless you. Samuel, he began as a young man, and when we looked at his life, he had an entire life of faith. I hope and pray some of our young men and women in here will have a life of faith like Samuel. But see, some don't. Some have to struggle with that sin later. But you see, sin is dangerous, and that's what I want to draw your attention to. Turn if you would to James chapter 1. We're just going to see the danger of sin. James chapter 1, and we'll look at verses 13 through 15. It says there, James chapter 1, verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. You know, there's a progression here. It doesn't usually just all happen within 5 minutes or an hour. There's a progression. It begins with lusting, and then it begins with the action, and then eventually it ends with death. In other words, sin is destructive. And even those sins that do not appear to be dangerous, those sins are, that's what they'll end up with. You know, you start with one sin, it becomes like a snowball effect, and those sins can become destructive and end up not only ruining lives, but destroying others. You know, that's the danger of sin. So we just need to be aware of sin and set sin aside, remove sin from our life. You know, the sin of unbelief, the sin of doubt, I guarantee the sin of unbelief and doubt will prevent believers from living by faith. And there is the sin of doubt. You know, as believers, we can doubt God. And that's a sin. That's doubting God's word, not taking Him at His word. And we can doubt God, and that'll hinder our faith. That'll cause us to struggle from day to day. You know, so we need to set sins aside so we can live by faith, live unto God. Now let's consider. We've considered the struggle. Now let's consider the stride. When I mean by the stride, the pace that you go here. Go back to Hebrews chapter 12. It says there, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Notice the rest of this verse. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now we're talking about the stride, the pace here of the race. We're to run with patience. Now that word run, the Greek word run, this is kind of interesting, is agon, or agon. It's the word we get agony from. I think it's referring to a long distance run. I don't think it's referring to a sprint. Now, I guess you sprint too far, it can be agonizing. But usually when I think of an agonizing run, it's the marathon perhaps, like a 26-mile run where, you know, after several miles, your body just wants to stop and you just got to continue on if you want to finish. And that's what I think it's referring to, a long distance type of run. And the Bible tells us that we're to run with patience is how we're to run our race. You know, that's interesting. It compares the life, or our life for God, with an agonizing run, a race. You know, there's going to be difficulties. There's going to be some times of trials, some troubles. There are going to be times where we're going to be tempted to quit or just say, is it worth it all? And that's when we're just to bear down and continue on. You know, we're to go without complaining, griping, or bickering. You know, if a marathon runner would gripe and complain and bicker the entire time, they'd probably quit eventually. Or I'm sure they'd waste a lot of energy complaining and griping and bickering. Their goal is just to get going. You see, if we're not careful, we can complain and gripe and bicker. Next thing you know, we're just discouraged, and then we either quit or we just don't serve, or our faith is hindered. You know what? Be grateful no matter what's going on in your life right now. I don't know what's happening in your personal life, but I want to challenge you to be grateful you're saved. If you're saved, I tell you what, your eternity's secure. No matter what else is going on, be grateful God has saved your soul. Be grateful that He loves you and He cares for you and that He's going to continue to guide and direct you. And you know what? You can be an encouragement and not a discouragement by living like that. You can not only encourage yourself, but you can encourage others. You know, there are many athletes, professional athletes, that have been cut from their teams not because of their abilities, but because of their attitude. There have been a lot of players who've had tremendous talent, but they become a problem with the team, so they let them go. You know, as believers, God's not going to cut you from your team. I don't teach you that. God's not going to cut you from your team, but you can discourage others, and you can hinder not only your faith, but others' faith. So let's encourage others. Let's live by faith. Also, how about we run? And talking about running with patience, that means running without giving in to temptation. You know, as you live for the Lord, there are going to be temptations, and sometimes they're going to be one right after another. You know, that's one thing we know we're not exempt from is temptation. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verses 8 and 9. 1 Peter 5 says, verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." You know what? First Peter says, hey, be ready. Because the devil's out there, and he's looking for whom he may devour. Now, he compares him to a roaring lion. You ever watch those Discovery Channel shows? I enjoy watching some of those. And you'll often find that lions, not always, but you know, they're very cunning animals. They don't just run in there and create havoc and see what happens. You'll find them sitting and waiting and planning and having a strategy. And then often, who do they go after? The young or the weak. That seems to be the case for the most part. If they have an opportunity, they'll take on one of the young or the weak before they'll go after some another animal that's powerful. You see, that's the warning we're given here. You know, as believers, be careful of being discouraged. I tell you what, when you're discouraged, the temptations are probably going to be coming at you. Be ready. You see, we need to be aware of the devil and run the race with patience. Know that there's going to be temptations and there's going to be attacks against us to cause us to stumble or to quit. And then that second part there in 1 Peter 5:8, we're to resist in the faith. And he even says, as your brethren in the world. In other words, others are facing the same thing. Others are also being tempted and struggling. How about you? You can buckle down just like them, and you can continue by faith. And so we need to run the race with patience. Also, that includes with the understanding that God will direct. You know, when we get impatient, it usually implies that we are not trusting God. We don't think God is directing, or we don't believe God is leading correctly, and so we're becoming impatient. When you're impatient with someone, it means that you don't think they're on time. And so if we're impatient as far as running our race and living by faith, that means we believe God is delaying. Now, we know God does not delay. We know God answers accordingly on time. Everything God does is correct. So we need to live by faith. In other words, we need to be content and have faith first in God's wisdom. Faith that God has a plan for your life. And then secondly, faith in God's power, that He is able to carry out that plan. You see, that's the type of faith we need. That's the type of faith I challenge you to have. Faith that God will work in your life. You know, also, we're to run the course that is set before us. And that's what the Bible tells us there. The race that is set before us. The course that is already marked out. You know, this morning, living a life for God is not living a reckless life like a maverick would live. You don't find mavericks in the Bible. When they were saved, what'd they do? They got into God's Word. They followed the Lord. They served God. You see, it's not up to us to decide where to go, what to do. We're to live for God and run the course that is set before us. Now, obviously, I believe that course, in general, it's talking about the life of faith, which the others ran too, living a life of faith that God has there. Now, I imagine it could break down a little bit more personal. What I mean by that is I imagine God has a plan specifically for your life. And you're to just trust God in the matter and live by faith. You know, if God has opened some doors up for you and you believe God would want you to go that direction, go by faith and trust in God. Work hard at your career. There's nothing wrong with being successful, working hard, as long as we live by faith and trust in the Lord. And that's what we're to do. But you know, the course has been marked out as far as the life of faith. It begins with Jesus Christ, and then it continues by living for God. And it's been ran by those that have come before us. All those that live by faith did the same thing. They trusted in the Lord, and they lived for Him. Now finally, I want you to consider the Savior this morning. This is our final thought. Consider the Savior. Hebrews chapter 12, and then it says in verse 2, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." You know, this morning, maybe you're here this morning, and maybe you have maybe your career, or maybe you have a hobby or something that you enjoy. And maybe in your career that you like, or the hobby you enjoy, maybe there's someone that has excelled at it, maybe, or they're considered to be an expert at it, or they're good at it. And if you had a chance, you would love to sit down with them and talk with them or spend time with them. Maybe, I don't know, think of golf. Maybe there's someone in golf you'd love to play around with if you like golf. Maybe in your career there's someone that has been successful, and if you had a chance to have lunch with them, you'd love just to pick their brain a little bit. You see here, that's what we have concerning the life of faith. What I mean by that is we have the ultimate example set before us, and that's the life of Jesus Christ. Right there, right in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we have the record of Jesus Christ that we can go to, we can read. And on top of that, the Bible tells us we have the presence of the Spirit, that when we read that and we pray and seek after God, remember what did Jesus say about the Spirit? He said not only would He come to comfort, but He would come to teach all things. You see, we have the Spirit there to guide us and to teach us the things of God. You see, Jesus Christ is our example. He's the perfect example. You know, this morning, for young children, now there's nothing wrong with having people that you look up to and respect, but don't idolize people, because people are human. They're going to fall and stumble. Look to God, even as young children. Teach them to look to God. Look to Jesus Christ as the example. You know, He lived a holy life. He lived a patient life. He lived a life of humility as an example for us. Also, the Bible tells us He's the author and finisher of our faith. You know what that means? That means it belongs to Him. If you write a book, it's yours. You copyright it. If anyone wants to use it, they have to give you credit. If they don't, then they get themselves into some trouble. That's your writing. This faith we have is due to Jesus Christ. He's the author and finisher of our faith. It's not our faith. We can't go around brag about how we live by faith or what we've done to get to heaven. The faith belongs, our faith is in Jesus Christ, who not only lived that life, but provided atonement on the cross. And that leads us into another thought. He endured the cross, it says there. I read where one man said this: however much we may suffer for Jesus, He has suffered far more for us. Now you think about that. No matter what comes for us, He went to the cross for us. He took our sin upon Him, and He paid the price. So I tell you what, anything else in comparison to what He did for us is nothing. So He endured the cross. Bible says He despised the shame. He did that for you and for me so we could be saved. And He suffered. He suffered. And then it goes on to tell us that He sat down at the right hand of God, and there He resides today. You see, He was victorious, and through Him, by faith, we can have the victory as well. I don't know about you, but I like to talk about winning. You know, I enjoy playing games. And I usually play to win. I like to win. With Jesus Christ, we are victorious. You see, we have eternal life. We will overcome sin completely because of Him. Now, He should be considered. As we live by faith, we should consider Jesus Christ. Let's consider His shame, and let's consider His sufferings. When we suffer, when we have some difficult times, instead of quitting or instead of getting discouraged, let's remember what He suffered. You know, all it takes is for a few minutes to go back and read the account of what happened that day when He went to the cross for our sin. And I tell you, nothing else will clear it up and make you say, oh, my life's not so bad after all. Look what my Savior did for me. You see, let's remember the sufferings that He had for us. Also, let's consider His endurance when we're attacked. I praise God right now. In our country, we have the freedom to worship God as we please. You know, some of our brothers and sisters in Christ this morning in other countries do not have that freedom. And this may mean more to them than it does to us. But when we are attacked, when we're persecuted, let's remember His endurance when He was attacked. How He was meek and humble, and how He had the ability to call 12 legions of angels, but he didn't. And he was willing to forgive them. You know, let's be like Jesus Christ. Let's be faithful. Also, let's consider him often. You know what? If we consider him often, that'll prevent weariness and, as the Bible says, faintness of mind. And that's where it begins. You know, if you're going to quit, it usually begins in your mind. You begin to think about quitting. You begin to get discouraged. And then your actions follow. So let's consider Jesus Christ. You know, this morning, in closing, faith for the journey. You know, this is the greatest race you will ever run. I don't know if anyone here it runs marathons or long-distance races of any kind. This is the greatest race anyone will ever run. It's the life of faith. Running that race for the Lord and living unto God. This one, I always have two thoughts to finish this entire series off with. First, if you are not in the race, get in right now. You see, the Bible tells us in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're not in the race this morning, you can get in by trusting in Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you can live by faith. You see, that's where it begins. Don't sit on the side and watch everyone else live for God and then go into eternity without having even entered the race. Get in the race and get involved. And secondly, if you are in the race, if you are saved here this morning, you are in the race, then run it. Be active. You know, when you watch the Olympics, you don't, they're running that marathon or any race, you don't see them say, well, let me take a seat over here on this bench and take a break while you're running. The rest is for later. Let's run the race right now because it's our turn to be faithful and to live by faith. You know, in closing, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, in verses 7 through 8, this is Paul's letter to Timothy. It's believed to be his last letter written. And there in verses 7 and 8, he says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. This morning, live by faith. Finish the course. Whenever God is ready to bring you home, be ready to go. Finish the course. Live by faith. And when you get to heaven, I believe God will be pleased because of your life of faith. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessings. I pray that you'll just in this invitation, if you've worked in anyone's heart here this morning, perhaps someone here just needed the encouragement from this passage, I pray that they'll just seek you out and give you thanks. If anyone here is just dealing with some issues, personal, private issues, I pray they take them to you and get them settled. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to have a time of invitation. I ask you to keep your heads bowed and eyes closed for a few minutes. And if God has worked in your heart in any way at all, please seek him in prayer. Maybe you're not in that race this morning. And you know that you've never trusted in Christ as your Savior. And perhaps today is the day that God has shown you that. And you need to get that settled. If that's the case, trust and repent of your sins and believe on Jesus. If you have any questions, please come down. We can show you from the Word of God what salvation is and how you can know that you are saved.